for your anointing here tonight. Amen. Father, thank you for your presence here in Jesus' name. We bless you. We honor you, Lord. We thank you for any dryness in our hearts just through the week. Thank you, Father, for just like a sponge. Father God, just bring in your, Lord, to your refreshing Holy Spirit there right now in Jesus' name. Dry areas, Father God, your Holy Spirit, Father God, brings peace. It brings comfort, Father God. It brings joy. It brings strength. It brings rivers of living water. Amen. So, Father, we thank you for rivers of living water. I'll get it right. He knows what I'm saying. Rivers of living water. Rivers of living water. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Father God. We thank you, Father, how we love you and honor you tonight. Thank you, Lord, that we are your children. We are your children. Thank you for your protection. Thank you for your provision. Thank you for your health in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Thank you for leading and guiding us. Thank you for the spirit of truth that dwells in us. And we just thank you for, Lord, we just honor you and worship you. Give thanks with a grateful heart. What's that scripture? Enter his gates with thanksgiving.
Yes.
And into his courts with praise. So we just thank you for that tonight, Lord. Thank you for the church, the body of Christ. Thank you, Lord, that just being here with you guys makes me feel more better. Just being here with you, amen? Much more than better, but more better. And so we thank you for that tonight, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. I'm going to need my Bible here. Sorry about that. Amen. You can be seated if you like, if you're willing and able. Thank you, Miss Gina, for doing the worship. And thank you, Gina, for doing that song. You know, I don't want to tell on my wife, but I had been asking for that song for a long time. I said, can we do that song, please? And she said, I don't know. So I just kept, you know how it is. I just kept being persistent, saying, can we please do that song? And then finally I said, can the pastor say, can we please do that song? Maybe we'll even get to do it on a Sunday morning. Amen? Amen and amen. So it's good to be with you tonight in the house of the Lord. We are in the book of John chapter 5. We thank God for his spirit, not his liver, but his spirit. Boy, tongue-tied. Pray for me. So we're in John chapter 5. Session 33. I got a feeling, I got a hunch, that it's going to take us about a year and a half to get through this. Ain't that okay? If you just go one or two scriptures at a time, that could, I don't know. But it's all good. So I just want to just real quick, as we dive right into this, son, a reminder of the verse I spoke about, that we talked about last week, John chapter 5, verse 18. It says, for this reason, therefore, the Jews were speaking all the more to kill him, Jesus. Because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but also was calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. And remember, we talked about last week about him being equal with God, and we talked about the three, they're one, but the three persons of God the Father, amen? God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. We talked about them being in perfect unity. We talked, and I talked a little bit, which I won't get into tonight, but I did mention a little bit about authority, and for some reason, authority on this earth is difficult, isn't it? It really is. And you think about a husband and a wife, and somehow we think of authority, if a head of a house being husband, meaning that somehow that a wife is less than. Well, not at all. I'm a protector, right? An encourager. My job is to bring her up into the giftings and callings of God and the things in her life to support her and help her on that and her likewise with me. Amen. And so we think about authority, meaning levels of authority that it's other people are less than, or however we can think about it, but that's absolutely not true. Did you know that it's just the pastor, my job is to help encourage you and to bring you into the gifts and callings of God on your life, according to Ephesians chapter 4. So my job is not to just say, I've got authority here, do what I say, and I'm in charge, large and in charge. No, on the opposite, I'm supposed to be the greatest servant of all. Amen. Look at Jesus with washing his disciples' feet, and he said, hey, I'm doing this as an example of what you're supposed to do with one another, right? Serving one another. And so I mention that because he said, hey, I don't know the hour I'll return, but the Father does. And so when we say they're equal, you know, God is in charge, God the Father, they're harmonious. They're in perfect harmony with one another. The Holy Spirit, remember we talked about the Holy Spirit, he's not ever coming to God the Father saying, hey, I'm kind of would like to have a little bit of the recognition. I mean, look at what I'm doing. I'm the one healing these people. I'm the ones doing these miracles. I know they're doing them in Jesus' name. I know this sounds funny, but I'm talking a little bit about, we're talking about authority, right? He says, I need to have a little more recognition. No, the Holy Spirit loves lifting up Jesus. He loves Jesus being lifted on high. Amen. He loves when he hears the name Jesus saying, I got to head that direction. The Holy Spirit. So authority, we're talking about authority here. When he says, I am equal with God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Three persons. But I got to move on. So Jesus responds to the people wanting to kill him all the more. He says, look, therefore, in John 5:19, therefore Jesus answered and was saying to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does in the same way. So why does Jesus use the phrase truly, truly? Maybe you've heard this. Simply put, the phrase means truly, truly, I am solemnly telling you the truth. The word truly also in the Greek also means amen, by the way. So it also means so be it, but it means truly, truly, I agree with that. So when I say something, you say amen, that means I believe that is true. I agree with it, so be it, amen? I just said amen. I love saying amen. So telling the truth, the word truly is the Greek word also for amen. So Jesus says, I'm telling the truth. You know, many claim to tell the truth. And we know that truth in today's world can be subjectively, right? It's whatever you believe the truth is. But for the body of Christ, right, we believe that Jesus is the only way, the only truth, the only life. Amen. There's only one God that can fill our hearts, and that's the Holy Spirit through believing in Jesus Christ. So the Son can do nothing of himself unless he sees the Father doing it. So how does Jesus see the Father doing? Does he have a window into heaven? Now, I'm going to start explaining something that you, and give me time, let me explain what I'm going to say, but you and I are more like Jesus in this world than we realize. Yeah. Now, am I perfect? No, I admit that. We can get a line of people up here and definitely let you know that I'm not perfect. Right? But let's look at how Jesus operated on the earth. The Son of God, amen. We know he was born of a virgin. We know that he is 100% God, 100% man. So I know he lived a sinless life. And like we do sometimes with some of the fathers of the faith of old and Elijah, Moses. Think of some of those great leaders. But he, as it says in the book of James, that Elijah was a man like you and I with like passions. Well, that means he dealt with the flesh. Did you know Elijah was no different than you and I? One iota. What makes him different from some people is a man of faith. He believed. He believed. He says, it's not going to rain for three. He prayed it wouldn't rain for 3.5 years. And by gosh, it didn't rain. And when he said it's going to rain, and when he prayed again, it did rain. So it says he was a man of like passion. So we're going to look into how about Jesus. Now, Jesus walking on this earth, we think, well, he had this special window into heaven. Now, we know he could do some things that you and I couldn't do. Like, remember when the men, they tore the roof open and let the paralytic down to where Jesus was teaching, right? And he says, hey, your sins are forgiven. And then he perceived and knew what was in their thoughts and minds. And so he says, what's it easier for me to do, to say your sins are forgiven or to pick up your mat and go home? So you and I are not people that can perceive everybody's thoughts. Sometimes people think they can't, right? I know what you're thinking. Not always the case, right? That can get us in trouble. So we know that Jesus, you see, to every man is given a measure of faith and a purpose in God. But we know Jesus was given he was without measure was he given the Spirit. So we know that those things were different than you and I on this earth, as he was sinless. But let's look at some things that he did that was be just like you and I. And why is the purpose of doing that? Why are we doing that? Because he says, look, I don't do anything unless I see the Father do it. And it can be the same way with you and I today, that we can see what the Father is doing and saying, I'm going that direction. I sense the direction he's taking my life, or I sense what he wants to do in this country. I sense what he's going to do in my family, and I'm going to go to action to be a part of that, because God is showing me what he is doing. Amen. So Jesus, so the Son of God can do nothing of himself unless he sees the Father doing it. So first point is point A, is the Holy Spirit. So do you have the Holy Spirit? If you're a believer, you have the Holy Spirit. Amen? If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you can come up front and we'll lead you to Christ, and you can receive the Holy Spirit. You can be baptized in the Holy Spirit right now. Amen. By faith. By faith. So we know that John 37 in verse 38, let's read that together. So he had the Holy Spirit. It says, you yourselves, this is Peter, I believe, talking to the Jews. So it's not John, I'm sorry, this is actually Acts 10. So I have John there, but it's actually, I believe it's Acts. You yourselves know the thing that happened throughout Judea. Starting from Galilee, they're talking about Jesus. After the baptism which John proclaimed, you know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power. And how he went about doing good and healing how many? All who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Do you know that it said that the Holy Spirit came down like a dove, right, after he was baptized? But he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was God in the flesh, but he was operating through the power of the Holy Spirit. As we'll see, he's many things he talked about, saying, hey, I got to leave so I can send the Holy Spirit to work through you as well. So number one, Jesus operated with the same Holy Spirit that dwells in you and I. Amen. He did not have a secret window to heaven where he's like, okay, all right, God, I see that. No, some people will think that he had something special that you and I do not have, but I'm telling you, he operated through the same Holy Spirit. We just read it, how he was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. John said, hey, I baptize you with water, but there's one coming after me. I can't even undo his sandals, loosen the straps of his sandal, but he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. With the Holy Spirit and with fire. And so until Jesus was taken up, and then the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. Amen? The day of Pentecost, like a rushing wind comes in to the room where they're at, and like clothes of tongues of fire set upon each head, and then they begin to speak in tongues. Amen? And then they begin to, Peter, with boldness, preach the gospel, and about 3,000 individuals were saved that day. He was operating in the same Holy Spirit that Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, operated on. Amen. The power, without the Holy Spirit, there is no power in the church. Without the Holy Spirit, there is no conviction in the church. Amen. Without the Holy Spirit, there is no wisdom in the church. Without the Holy Spirit, we're no different than any club that you could have today or tonight or tomorrow. You could join any club, it would have the same power. We may be walking in truth, but would there be no power? The Holy Spirit is what gives the power to the church, even today. Amen? That's why you come into a church where God's leading you. You said, hey, I sense His Spirit here. This is where God's leading me. I want to be here. God's telling me that I'm to be here. That is the working of the Holy Spirit with that body, hitting your Holy Spirit. That's in you saying, this is where I want you. That is the work of the Holy Spirit, 120%. The Holy Spirit. The power, it's the blood that washes sins, but it's the power of the Holy Spirit breaks sin over your life. It's the blood of Jesus that cleanses you white as snow, but it's the Holy Spirit, it says in 1 Titus, that teaches us to say no to ungodliness. Thank you, Lord, for the power of the Holy Spirit. See, revival or working of God's heart always comes through the Holy Spirit. There's plenty of churches that can be brothers or sisters in Christ. They believe in Jesus Christ. You're saved by faith. Amen. But it's only the power of the Holy Spirit that truly changes a life. Amen and amen. He went about, he was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. And he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Did you know the Holy Spirit still delivers, sets free, heals? Amen. Aren't you glad for the Holy Spirit? Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're here to lift up on high the name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, you're here to set the captive free. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you still heal bodies in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus, that the Holy Spirit still breaks the power of depression and discouragement in the name of Jesus. See, if you get counseling and it does not have the power of the Holy Spirit, then it will be something that you're doing on your own strength and your own ability. And I don't know about you, but I was just never very good with that. But the power of the Holy Spirit through the grace of God, amen, through His love, changed my life radically. It is the power of the Holy Spirit still. If I go to somebody who's going to give me counsel about something in my life, but if it does not include the power of God, it will not change anything. The best anger management there is the power of the Holy Spirit. I said the best anger management there is the Holy Spirit. Amen. Because of the fruit of the Spirit. Did you just, it said the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, and temperance, according to the King James Bible. Amen. The fruit of the Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit is our battle, you know. Tongues and interpretations, gifts of healing, miracles. It's God's power there that He demonstrates in our lives, giving us victory. But it's that fruit of the Spirit that gets you up on Monday morning saying, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Can't wait for this day to start. Thank you for what you have for me, Lord. The fruit of the Spirit. Amen. Amen and amen. We cannot underestimate the power of the Holy Spirit. See, sometimes we got to be careful because in today's world, if we're not careful, what we can end up doing is being embarrassed of the power of the Holy Spirit. Be embarrassed of God's power. People look at it saying, are you one of those holy rollers? Well, I guess so. If worshiping with joy and peace because of Him delivering, set me free, and saving my soul, amen. Yeah, I guess I'm a holy roller. See, today it's easy in the pulpit to read the Word of God and say, apply this to your life, but no power of the Holy Spirit, the demonstration of the Holy Spirit. So a move of God will always include a demonstration of the Holy Spirit. If it's not, it doesn't matter what you get together to do. If it does not include a demonstration of the Holy Spirit, it will soon die. It will wither. It will not have life. It will not produce life. Because the Holy Spirit is in us, like it says, comes out of our bellies like what? Living waters. And Psalms 1, it says, you'll be planted like a tree by living waters. Living water, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit bringing life. The Holy Spirit bringing refreshing. See, it was the same Holy Spirit operating in Jesus that gave Him victory over every temptation of the devil. See, He was baptized. The Holy Spirit came upon him. And it says the Spirit drove him immediately. It said the Spirit. The Spirit immediately drove him into the desert where he was tempted by Satan. Didn't eat for 40 days. His flesh, his mind, everything about him in the natural was exhausted and spent. But it was the power of the Holy Spirit in him that said, nope, I'm not giving in. I'm not buying your lies. The word of God became to come in his mind saying, I rebuke you, Satan. You shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Amen. So the Holy Spirit began to bring the word of God to him, even though he is the word. It said the word became flesh and dwelt among us. It was the power of the Holy Spirit that reminded him of the power of the word of God as he did battle with Satan. So what am I saying there? That in all the time when he was being tempted, it says, because remember, he tempted him in the desert. And then it says he left him until another opportune time came for him to tempt Jesus again. But it was the power of the Holy Spirit that allowed him to be victorious. It is the same Holy Spirit in you and I that allows us to be victorious. Lord, we thank you for our fresh revelation of the part of the Holy Spirit plays in our lives. Lord, may we not be ashamed of the Holy Spirit. See, the wisdom of this world will not do anything. So if we become a church, it's just all about, hey, how much scripture do you know? And what can put together a neat sermon, but if there's no anointing and power behind it, it doesn't mean a lick of anything. There's authority behind the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. As they said to Jesus, the Pharisees sent these men to arrest Jesus, and they were going to arrest him. They were just awestruck. And they come back and they say, well, where's Jesus? We've never heard anybody speak with this authority. The authority came through the power of the Holy Spirit in his life. Your and I's authority in the name of Jesus is through the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, may our hearts be stirred by the Holy Spirit. The stirring is not just us jumping up and down, which is great. Amen. And thank God I can still jump up and down. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. But it's a stirring by the Holy Spirit within us. Amen. That stirring says there's more. That stirring says don't settle. That stirring says I've got purpose. That stirring says I can restore your marriage. That stirring says I can break that bondage of sin over your life. Amen. That's what the stirring of the Holy Spirit does in the believer. Thank you, Jesus. That's good stuff. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, Lord. Thank you for a fresh moving of your Holy Spirit in the church today. Thank you for a fresh fire in the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, once again, believers not being ashamed of the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for churches saying, I'm not going to settle for the wisdom of man and for some neat little sermon, but Lord, we thank you for a fresh and a new demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit in your church, because that's the only way there'll be life in this nation. That's the only way there'll be life in your family. There's the only way there'll be restoration of things that the enemy has stolen from you is through the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Amen. That is through the Holy Spirit. So we thank you again, Father God, for the Holy Spirit working in your people afresh and anew. So many times we work on problems, things that come our way in our own strength, our own ability. We all do it. And sometimes it comes where we finally hit a wall a few times with our head that we finally stop and say, Jesus, by your Holy Spirit, give me wisdom in this situation. Jesus, by your Holy Spirit, give me victory in this situation. Amen. It's the Lord that always leads us, and it doesn't always seem like the way that the flesh would lead you. I was thinking and talking to my wife this morning when Abraham and Lot, they had become so wealthy and blessed together that they had to split up. And so Lot says, man, this is the choice. This is the choice land over here. Look how green it is. Look how awesome it is. And what did Abraham do? Did he say, nah, we're going to have to talk about this? No, he says, whatever you want to do. You take it because the Spirit of God is with me and leading me. Doesn't matter what happens. Doesn't matter what people say. Doesn't matter what it looks like. The Spirit of God is going to lead me in blessing. He's going to lead me in peace. He's going to lead and guide me with his wisdom. Lot, you can look with your fleshly eyes. You do what you want, but it doesn't matter what I'm left with. I am blessed, and I can't help it because the power of the Holy Spirit is with me. Amen and amen. So the power of the Holy Spirit, regardless of the situation or what you're going through, he's there to lead and guide us. The flesh will kick and scream and says, this doesn't look good. This, how's this going to work out? But the Spirit of God says, trust me, I'll lead and guide you. Amen. I will lead and guide you into all truth, but you've got to trust me. And if there's anything that the Lord is teaching me now, and it's amazing, it's through struggles, it's through hard times that the Holy Spirit says, I'm here, hang on, I'm revealing myself, don't give up, I'm going to show up big time on your behalf, just do not give in. You can't do it on your strength, but I have my Spirit living in you and guiding you. I will make it work out, even when it looks like it will not work out. I am here with you. I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, amen. I am the God that healeth thee. I'm the God that blesses thee. I'm the God that strengthens me. Regardless of what it looks like with your natural eyes, with your emotions and your mind and your will, say, Holy Spirit, I am trusting you because I belong to you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. I think I can move on to the next point. I couldn't there for a while. Amen. The importance, let me say again, of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The importance. Do we realize that? Do we understand that? Even the revelation of the Word of God can only be revealed to us through the Holy Spirit. We can look at it and have all the intellect that we could muster up, or have all the worldly, fleshly intellect that an individual could have, but without the Spirit of God, it's just dry, nothing, has no life. Then you can take somebody who seems like they have nothing to offer in the natural, and they read the Word of God with the Spirit of God, and it becomes like fire shut up in their bones. It becomes wisdom that cannot be given by this world. Doesn't matter your pedigree, doesn't matter where you came from, doesn't matter where you went to school. If you don't have the Holy Spirit interpreting the Word of God and directing your life, it is all self-directed, self-will, and not of the Holy Spirit. Aren't you glad that outside of your capability, there's somebody much smarter than you and I that says, this is the way to go, walk in it. That gives me comfort. Even when my flesh is kicking and screaming, amen. I was talking to a young man this morning who had moved, and he said, I thought this move was going to work out wonderful. And he's in a time frame where it's not working out. And so as I began to chat with him and talk with him, we prayed for him, and I remember that in Philippians where Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And of course, he wrote that from a dark jail cell. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And so I began to say, hey, you feel like you're trapped where you are. But this is an opportunity for you to say, Lord, I rejoice in you. Lord, I know I feel trapped. I know this isn't turning out how I thought. Do you think when Paul was in prison, he didn't have thoughts of like, this is not what I signed up for. These beatings do not feel that good. These things that are coming against me, this isn't always happy time. But yet, by the Spirit of God inside him, he was saying, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Saints, when we're in those middle of those struggles and it's tough, we got to realize it's the Holy Spirit in us that allows us through the fruit of the Spirit, through the power of God, to rejoice. It's not dependent on you, just you to rejoice. It is dependent upon the Spirit of God in you to help you, to stir you up and say, I rejoice in this situation. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're going to bring me out of this situation. Thank you that you, Lord, that you are with me regardless of what it looks like. So I told this young man as I was praying for him, I know you feel like you're locked in a prison cell, but rejoice in the Lord. Trust him and he will make your path straight. tell your flesh to shut up. Whether you're 53 or 3 years old, we can all throw a fit and have to tell our flesh to shut up. I'm going to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Amen? And that is done through the power of the Holy Spirit. Through the power of the Holy. We can depend on His Spirit, saints. Afresh and anew that we would depend on His Holy Spirit. That we realize that we have much more in us already than we realize. But what happens so much is we're so used to having the flesh, our mind, our intellect in control. That fountain, that river within us sometimes gets stopped up. It gets stopped up with our intellect. It gets stopped up with our wisdom. It gets stopped up when we look at our checkbook. It gets stopped up when somebody offends us. It gets stopped up when sometimes it doesn't go our way. Amen? But the Lord is saying, hey, always trust in me. I have a river of life always abounding. I have a fountain that's always available to you. And it's trusting in Him. Thank you, Lord, that we will, again, afresh and anew, trust in your Holy Spirit. Lord, that you would take the Holy Spirit and enlighten the Word in our lives like never before. Lord, I pray for a fresh joy, a fresh hunger, a fresh excitement for the Word of God, stirring our hearts so that precious Word of God become alive unto us, that the words on its page would just jump off and leap within our spirit as you begin to reveal revelation afresh and anew of the person of Jesus Christ in our lives. Saints, the Holy Spirit is important. Saints, it's the life of the church. I'm sorry I can't get off this point. I can't yet. I'm just not yet able to get off that point. Let me tell you that what I love about the Holy Spirit, it says not grieve not the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we'll use that as like, you know, God's going to shut you out or turn away from you. No, I love it. It says that about grieving. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit with whom you've been sealed with. Well, we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. I love that if there's something in my life that He wants to change, I feel His grieving because I belong to Him. And as an obedient son, thank you for showing that to me, Lord. Thank you for showing me that. Thank you for revealing that. Thank you for taking the blinders off in areas of my life. It's not done by the flesh. It's not done by trying to be a better boy or girl. It is done only by the Holy Spirit revealing those things to us. Thank you for that, Lord, that we can trust that. We can trust the Spirit of God in our lives as that compass. Lord, teach us to hear your voice. Teach us to hear your voice. Lord, teach us to be sensitive to your Spirit, whether at the grocery store or talking to a friend on the phone or whatever the situation, that the Holy Spirit can tap us on the shoulder and say, pray for that person. That the Holy Spirit can tap us on the shoulder and say, show kindness to that person. Tap you on the shoulder during your time of prayer saying, I want you to call this person and help them financially. It's the Holy Spirit that can, where we're used to hearing His voice, wanting to hear His voice, desiring, longing to be led by His Holy Spirit, where He can tap us on that shoulder, whisper in our ears, in our ear, and give us direction for that day or that situation. That is what God wants to do with us daily. Amen? That is what God is doing in our lives more and more and more in this day and this age is what we got to have. When the enemy comes in like the flood, it says that he raises up a standard, and that standard is the Holy Spirit speaking through you and I. So what I've learned is, as I'm growing in Him and saying, Lord, what is standing in the way of me being sensitive to your Holy Spirit? It's a done deal. I belong to you. I'm a child of God. But it's not enough for me just to be a child of God. I want to be sensitive in every area of my life to what your Holy Spirit is saying to me. Every year, it's not enough for me just to say, yeah, I'm a child of God. I punched my ticket to heaven. I want to say, Lord, you have so much more for me. Let me not be disqualified in any area of my life any area, not disqualified from heaven, but disqualified, saying, I got much more for you if you would allow me to grow you into that. If you would allow my Holy Spirit to minister to you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And so the next point, or the next thing, which I already talked about quite a bit, is we also operate in the Holy Spirit. Did we cover that? 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, do you not know that you are a temple of God? Wow. And that the Spirit of God dwells in you. It doesn't say that he's passing by. It doesn't say that he came over for lunch. It doesn't say that he comes and goes. It says that he dwells in you. You know, dwell means he lives. He lives. He lives in me. Amen and amen. 1 Corinthians 12:4-7 says, this is talking about the Holy Spirit. They have the fruits of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:4-7 says this. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. You and I are made differently. Amen. Verse 5, and there are varieties of ministries, but it's the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. Thank you, Lord. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Did you know that you and I have a different manifestation of the Spirit of God? And it says that in 1 Peter 4 that all those living stones together produce the body. It produces the body. There's giftings that I have that you don't have, and there's certainly giftings and abilities and manifestations of the Holy Spirit in your life that I don't have. You have things that you can operate and see. You can see a portion of God that I don't see. Did you know that? Through the Holy Spirit? Through the Holy Spirit. His ways are much higher than our ways, but all his ways given to each little individuals, a little bit here, a little bit here, a little bit of purpose here, gifting here, and it produces a body. It produces a body, which is Jesus Christ being the head. Amen and amen. Let me see if I can get it just a little bit further. The next one is the Word of God. Let me read this. Luke 4:16-21. The Word of God. So this is, we're talking about how did Jesus operate while he was on the earth. Luke 4, it says, and he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. And the scroll of Isaiah the prophet was handed to him, to Jesus, and he unrolled the scroll and found the place where it is written. The Spirit, this is in Isaiah, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down, and the eyes of all the people in the synagogue were intently directed at him. Now he began to say to them, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Could you imagine when God showed him that, as he's the Son of God, the Holy Spirit ministering to him and said, that's you, son. And what's the wonderful thing for sons and daughters, when we read that, he's saying, that's you, sons and daughters. I have put my Spirit in you to set those who are captives free. I have anointed you to set at liberty those who are struggling. I've given you the ability to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I've given you the ability to speak life unto people. That same scripture that Jesus wrote is the exact same scripture for his church. Because he said, the things that I did, you shall do, and greater things than these shall you do. So that same scripture, you and I could read that and say, that's me. But Jesus, who said Jesus was the firstborn among many brethren. Firstborn among many brethren. He walked this out. He paved the trail. He lived a perfect life. He died on the cross. He was risen from the grave. He gave us the Holy Spirit. And now when we read those scriptures, you can say, well, that's me. Thank you, Lord, that's me. That's me at the grocery store. That's me at home. That's me on the job. That's me when I'm looking at my checkbook, knowing that, God, I have purpose. Lord, thank you that your spirit is in us. Thank you that you work through people. See, he still works through people. Satan works through people. He works through, Satan has no power on this earth if it wasn't for people. And God has no power now except through his church. I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense to me. It seems like a weak object. Are you kidding me? That's how you're making yourself known besides all of creation. But it says that that people coming to Christ is through what? Through preachers. What did Paul say? He says, how can somebody believe unless somebody preaches? Unless somebody sent? Blessed are the feet of those who bring good news. Little powers of Jesus Christ in each individual. Am I Jesus? By not any means. I'm not saying that. But the same spirit he carried, the same word of God that he read and said, man, that's me. I'm able to say that and say, man, Lord, you paved the way. That's me. That's us. That's what you want the church to do. If somebody, you think about it, someone had to have led you to Jesus Christ. You heard a message that seems foolishness to the world. The creator of the world has decided that you and I are going to come to Christ through hearing the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God using a foolish thing like a message that somehow hit my heart and said, I believe with all my heart. I'll die for it. I'll give up everything for it. I don't care what happens. I believe this message that landed in my heart like a seed and began to grow and began to give fruit. Now my fruit is eaten by other people, and with you, God, the fruit that God has coming out of your life is eaten by other people. It refreshes people. It strengthens people. It encourages people. I can't believe that this foolishness called the gospel, God chose it to set people free. Isn't that amazing? The wisest being in all the universe could have made the gospel known anyway. And he says, guess what? I'm going to do it the most foolish way that the humankind could imagine. And the world says, you're telling me you go to church and listen to that preacher? What's wrong with you? That's foolish. But it's opposite. They're blind. It says that Satan has blinded them unless they would hear the gospel and be saved and be set free. Oh, the word of God. Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit. Jesus reading the word of God saying, that's me. Remember when he was on the road of Emmaus, is it Emmaus it's called? After he died, and he's with those couple of guys, and it says that he hid them from his, He hid them. They didn't know who he was. And it says he began to reveal to them from the law, from the beginning to the end, saying, this was talking about Jesus, and he must die for your sins. That's what he said. And then he joined him for a meal, remember? And then all of a sudden he was revealed to him that was Jesus, then he disappeared. How did he reveal, how did he begin speaking to them? Through the word of God. Showing them from the beginning through the end, saying that Christ must suffer and die. As he began to imagine, he was in the temple at 12 years old, right? They were astonished. He was reading the Bible, the word, the Old Testament, the word of God to them about himself. And they were astonished at his learning at 12 years of age. Jesus learned the revelation of who Jesus was as he read the word of God and said, man, that is me. I have arrived on the scene finally. The one Israel that you have been waiting for is here. And he read Isaiah chapter 60 and said, it is I, I'm here. Amen. Well, that's as far as we can get. The next one we were going to hit, point C, but our time is expired, is talking about prayer. Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus read the Word of God. And the next thing is Jesus was a man of prayer. All those things that he did in his life to walk in authority are the same steps that you and I do today. Can you stand up with me? Do you love him today, this evening? Are you thankful for his Holy Spirit? Yes. Are you thankful for his word? Yes. So we thank you for those things tonight, Lord. Lord, I just ask that the seed of the word of God, all of our hearts, including mine, would land on good soil, would germinate. Lord, I pray that even as we wake up tomorrow, that we be thinking about the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Lord, you begin to stir us and speak to us, and you would say things, encourage us, and Lord, and even spur us along saying, I have more for you. There's more for you. And so we thank you for, Lord, we thank you for the miracles that are coming in our lives in the coming days, weeks, months, years. So many miracles that are lined up of what you're doing in our lives, God. Simply walking by faith with the Holy Spirit living in us. And we thank you for that, Father. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen and amen.